I don't believe this. Came in off the tree, and just look at this. Well, that is unbelievable. I haven't seen that in such a long time.
Everybody, to another episode of Bogey or Better. I am Dylan. I am back. Sorry for missing you guys last week, but I was on the course, and so I was technically still adding to the podcast, just, you know, not directly, indirectly. I was with y'all in spirit for sure. But it was a good round shot. Well, it was an okay round. I shot 83, but that was with a plus five on hole nine. Just letting y'all know.
I still don't understand how that...
That was...
With no drops.
No drops. Not a single lost ball. A plus five on hole nine. It was... I'm not sure if I've actually ever, you know, ever had that bad of a blow-up hole after, you know, being playing golf for a while at this skill level. It was a scene. It was a scene. But we'll get into that. But... Just Cam, we have Cam here. Welcome back. You were all alone last week with CJ.
Yeah, it was a really nice episode for my first solo recording to have him. I thought that was, listening back to it, I was like, man, it was just really, really informative. And for those who don't know, CJ was also the best man in my wedding, so we go back. But it was nice. He was super knowledgeable, and the cool thing is CJ's not. He's not a golfer, really. I mean, he plays, but he just has fun. So, you know, he really had a lot of just, he, you know, I mean, he's a trainer, so he had a lot of experience, and he was able to really give some good content. And I know stuff that I like to hear that was going to help me, but it was not easy going solo, I got to admit.
Yeah, talking to yourself, kind of, it's probably a little tougher than just... talking to me.
Yeah.
Trying to just come up with things to say. So the week you were recording with CJ was the day after our 2v2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sadly, Tony did not win.
No, you didn't.
Cam and Adam emerged victorious. Very, very good game, teammate. Though. A very good round.
It was.
It was a fun day. Beautiful course. I forgot how nice Windermere is. It's a beautiful piece of property that they got there. And the price is not bad for what you're getting.
No, yeah, it's great.
So it was a nice day, but didn't hit any range balls and did not stretch. And I kick myself because it's like I always stretch before I play now because of my back. And obviously listening to y'all, you and CJ's episode, well, that's
yeah.
What I was like, yeah, I mean, that was just dumb.
It's really important, actually. And I don't necessarily, you stretch more than I do beforehand. I like to hit balls, and I really learn, like, that's not necessarily a warm-up. Right. You know, I mean, we were talking, it's just like working out to warm up before your workout. It doesn't really make sense. You have to do something solely just to get your body warmed up before you do that. So, yeah, you didn't do it, and then, I mean, we chipped around a little bit, but it was a very just, like, jump right into it, you know?
It was a weird start compared to what we usually do.
Yeah.
Because we were just kind of in that time zone of, you know, we don't really have time enough to hit a bucket of balls, but we also have a little bit of time to wait around. And especially where their range is, kind of wasn't, you know, it wasn't right there at the clubhouse or anything, so... But, yeah, started off the first few holes, just I was really tight and off the tee was okay, but irons and chipping were just, they were not there. They were just not there the first, like, four or five holes.
Yeah, the first four holes we were up three points at that point. So, I mean,
it was a bad start for me.
But it wasn't like we were running away with it. We just happened to... we basically just had one stroke on you each hole. It wasn't like they were blow-up holes, but we none of us were really playing great. You know, Adam sunk that one putt from probably, what, 10, 15 feet?
Yeah, Adam's putting and chipping Adam's putting was awesome. Really good. It was, I mean, I don't think I've really ever seen him putt or chip like that ever. It was clear to me that he had practiced a lot.
It just felt he had, like, confidence. Yeah. You know, he just, because we spent, like, you know, we didn't hit range balls, so basically we just chipped and putt. And, you know, I don't really play out of the sand, but that hole that he hit that putt, I hit a great sand save because you were on the green. And we were, you had hit a great shot. You were only, like, 10 feet from the hole as well, and we were in the sand. And so I splashed one on there, basically the similar distance. We had to putt first. We were a little bit inside, but it was pretty close to the same thing y'all had. And Adam was first putt, and he sunk it. And I should have left the putter cover back on. I loved it.
Yeah. So y'all were three up through four, right? And
yes, three up through four.
We tied five and six.
Yeah, then I believe so. Because then we went, and then by the end, because it was, no, six, seven, and eight was y'all's
six,
holes.
Six, seven, eight. Yeah, so six, seven, eight, yeah, me and Tony came back and got us all square.
Yeah.
And then we tied nine.
Yeah, right. So the first time that we played, y'all were up one going into the 10th hole. So this time we were even going in 10th hole. So we kind of looked at that as a win. You know, we basically viewed it as like we were one up at that point. And then 10, we got a point.
Yeah, 10, y'all got a point. And it was an off day. It was an off day for all of us, but I mean, Adam came up with some really good shots.
He really did.
And Tony definitely didn't play as well as he did in the first round, but neither did I. And so it was just, we were fighting every hole pretty much. It just, you know, we really didn't feel any freedom, I guess, off the tee or anything the whole round. And I don't think we never had the lead at all. So y'all played really good. You know, you missed when it was okay to miss, and then one of y'all would make a good shot when you needed to. And that's, you know, that's what you have to do with a captain's choice.
Yeah, I think the difference really came within 50 yards and in, because Adam chipping was just really confident to the point where I could get really aggressive. Yeah. Like, have, you know, I didn't have to worry about not getting enough spin. Like, I was basically, I had to either hit the hole or go by it. So it was nice to play that way, because we ended up still using some of those, but then his putting was on. He was able to see the line and hit through it. I mean, I really didn't have to putt, and I didn't make any putts that were mine until hole 17 to win it. So, and two holes before that, the past two, so 16 and 15, I missed the putts to win. It dragged out an extra two holes that I didn't need to. And I had that one beautiful chip on that par five. The one that I was like, if the wind was going the opposite direction, it might have went in. Just sat right on the edge. Even if I made that, y'all still had to two putt.
Yeah.
It was like we were so far behind on that one. But no, it was a good round. I'm glad that it evened out. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm biased, but it kind of gets a nice little third round back to even. Like, it's gonna be awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
So we're gonna have our final tiebreaker date TBD.
Yeah, I think we're gonna play Charwood. December. I thought earlier they were talking December 5th, but I don't know if that's official.
And we're gonna have it at our home course, which is Charwood, pretty even ground there.
I think that's perfect. Yeah. Their greens have been phenomenal, really fast too, which I've been liking. Because, I mean, not only do we know how the greens roll, but we also, like, with speed comes you know, you can hit a line and let it roll the whole way. When you have to really force it every time, it's rare to hit putts like that. So, and last time I played there, I was even par. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. And that course, you know, there's barely any water and there's barely any bunkers really. So, I mean, it's going to be a putting match for sure. A putting and chipping match for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Because and whoever can take advantage, like if we don't get off the tee well, y'all have to.
Right.
Because it's not going to be easy to get a stroke ahead
of
somebody.
And there are tons of very gettable greens on the par fours that, mm-hmm. you know, if our partners can give us safe shots, we can go for
really
it.
Really go for know. It. And all par fives are gettable in two. Yeah. Every maybe the third or the fourth hole, that first par five is mm-hmm. quite long.
Yeah, that's a pretty long one.
And especially because they have two greens on that hole. Which, I mean, why not? But there's a forward green, then there's above green. So if it's in the back of the above green, it adds like an extra, what, 70?
Yeah, I mean, it gets close to like a 550-yard hole or something like that.
Yeah, from the we're not even playing from tips. Like it's a long par five. Yeah. You're better off just, instead of trying to hit 3-wood from the fairway, try to get it up there. You may end up on the front green. And then you got to pitch up anyways. You're better off just hitting a nice little iron and then just flopping it up there. So I'm looking forward to it because then the next hole after that is that like high draw hole.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to draw my clubs a lot better lately. So I'm hoping that I'll get ready for it.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to it. You've been working on getting some new irons, right?
Yes, we are. I am excited to say that I have officially placed an order for new irons.
Woo!
That's
awesome.
Yeah, so I went to our local golf shop, which is Jimmy Kuza's golf shop over in Lexington, and went ahead and, because the only thing I needed to know in order to buy them was what shafts I needed to put on there, which is something I really have never paid too much attention to. With my irons, is what shafts I'm swinging. I don't even know what's in my Cobras. I think they're just pretty standard steel shafts. But I know I hit some KBSs when I had my Ping I-25s. And I know those I-200s had Dynamic Gold S-300s, which are a very heavy shaft. And I knew I didn't want something very heavy. So I went to Kuza and one of the guys there had me swing a couple of different ones with the Ping I-500 heads that I'm in love with. And let me tell you, Cam, swinging those irons, I started thinking, I was like, no, we're not here for that, Dylan. We're here for the shafts. We're not here for the I-500s. This is just an ends to a means. A means to an end.
It's tough because those are the ones you want.
Yeah, they felt phenomenal, but...
They are phenomenal.
They are, but I will say they weren't phenomenal enough to change my mind.
Yeah, because those Maltby irons are great.
Yeah, thinking about when I was hitting the Maltbys on the range, I'm still getting that softness from the forged iron, and it's so much cheaper. Like, even after I bought the irons, I was thinking, could I have gotten used I-500s for around the same price? No. I looked on eBay, like, cheapest I found was like $900 for used irons.
And then you still have to go and get them with the re-gripped,
right,
shafted the way you want them.
So that's still going to be spending over $1,200 for used irons.
Yeah. So you can get the Maltbys exactly the way you want. And then they were what, like just under $600, right?
With tax and shipping, because I went ahead and paid for 2-day shipping.
Yeah.
So I get them sooner. It was 6:30, I think.
Jeez.
But
did you go
so cheap,
5
man.
To pitching wedge?
4 to 9.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because you I forgot you have that Titleist. Yeah.
Yeah, I have that 46-degree.
But
SM7,
same difference, same amount of clubs.
So yeah, I can go through everything that's in the order if you want me to.
Yeah.
So I got the Maltby TS2 forged iron heads, 4 through 9. And the shafts are the Nippon, however you pronounce that, NS Pro Modus Tour 105. So it's a lighter shaft.
Yeah.
And it's the exact one I swung at Kuza. I was ecstatic that they actually had that choice in Golf Works, which is where you get the multi irons. And it increased my swing speed 3 miles an hour.
That's impressive.
I think with a 7 iron, it was like 89.5, I think.
How far did you say you were hitting that 7 iron?
I hit 3 of them that went 190. But I think I was averaging like 175.
Yeah.
Which is great with a 7 iron. That's about, I actually wouldn't mind
hitting. That's above average.
Yeah. Like anything above 165, I'm happy with.
Yeah.
And yeah, I like those light shafts because I just can control, I feel like I can control the head on my way back. And because I'm handsy, I can just kind of control that club face a little bit better on my backswing. And it just felt so nice swinging it. Like it just, I don't know, it just felt nicer hitting the ball with a lighter shaft. And it's going to help me hit it not so high. Like it'll lower it a little.
Yeah, because you do have a very high ball flight.
Yeah, it was. I think I was going. Forget what the height was, but he said it was a very good height. Whatever I was hitting it. They felt really nice. So I got the NS Tour 105 shafts, and then I went with the Golf Pride Multi Compound Plus 4. Mid-size grip, black and gray.
Nice.
With those. And then I went ahead and just did standard lie, because I know it's going to have to be bent somewhere. I just didn't know where. So once I get them and I play with them, I'll take them to get them fitted for me.
Because that's going to be a small adjustment.
Yeah, he'll just
either
have to
way,
bend them a couple of degrees here or there.
Did you get the shafts lengthened? Like, did you go plus one?
Oh, yeah. I went plus half.
Half. Okay.
I'm excited about that. I think that'll be nice because it won't be too much of a difference, but I think, I don't know, it'll feel a little more comfortable for me because those wedges I have are plus 1 inch.
Yeah.
And I like how I feel addressed at the ball. It's a little more comfortable for my back.
I think I'm going to end up doing that too. I might go all the way to plus one.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gives me the ability to choke up on the irons and go all the way, like the butt end. It gives you a little bit of room. I have my 6 iron was fixed and they did plus 1.5 just to see how, like I wanted a drastic difference to see like how I like the feel. So I'll probably go plus 1 on them when I get them, but I'm looking forward to when yours come in. Cause I'd like to see the difference in shaft. Like, if it actually really feels good.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the same thing. I was like, I don't really know. I figured I'd just get the Dynamic Gold. That's just the shaft I always see.
Right.
But once yours come in, I'd like to try, like, put it up against my, whatever, the 6 iron, the one that I have that's extra long, and see what the difference is. Because the one we tried was a shortened shaft. It was, like, minus 1.5.
Yeah.
And so it was like swinging terrible. A wedge, but a 7 iron.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking forward to it though. So I'm glad you ended up getting them. And did you get them assembled?
What do you mean?
Like it's going to come all in pieces unless you got the assembly.
I did not know that.
It was like a note. I keep seeing it. It's like you had to put in the notes like free assembly so that they would assemble it and send it to you.
Hmm. Well then.
Well, if I were you, I'd
I will call them immediately. I don't want to do that.
I'm glad I thought of that because that would
that is insane.
Honestly, that'd have been hilarious if that came.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think because I think they don't automatically do it if you want to further make adjustments because they come and it's customizable, and so in the notes it'll say you have to put like free assembly in the notes or something so that they know that they can assemble it. So gotcha. You don't have to make any further adjustments.
Well, I'm glad you said something. That's hilarious. I didn't know that was a thing.
Man, that would have been hilarious. It just comes in. You're so excited. And it's just a box of pieces.
Jeez. Well, I will definitely email them tonight.
Yeah. Because you got them, what, yesterday?
No, I ordered them today. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sure you're fine.
And then. I think two of the shafts are on back order, so it'll be a little bit before I get them anyway.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. So I would try it. I would do that maybe before they send all the heads with no shafts.
I'm going to email them as soon as we get done with this.
That's too funny. Well, I talked a little bit about it the past episode, but it was Masters week this week, and it felt so good. Just a little bit of normalcy back, you know, just to have Jim Nantz go a tradition like no other. Just, it really hits different, you know, when we're stuck at home, and it was actually surprising to see how green and lush the course was in November.
Yeah,
and
it's very impressive.
I found it really funny after the first round when I'm like, why is it so dark at like 4 o'clock? And it's because they never play. They always play in April or March. So they can go for so much longer throughout the day. They're playing in daylight savings time right now. So at like, you know, 5:30, they have to horn everybody off because it's too dark. So everybody, like Tiger today had to play, what was it? Because we're recording on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So we just finished the Saturday round. Tiger had to play like, what was it, 7 holes this morning?
Yeah, pretty much.
So he played late. So he went into the evening, then woke up and went out there, you know, before everybody else, finished his 7 holes, changed, had like an hour and a half rest, and then went and played 18. And they were like, man, Tiger's back really is looking tight. And it's like, he probably slept like 5 hours because.
Yeah.
He has to get up for a normal round at like 4 a.m. So getting up for an extra early round, that poor guy. But yeah,
that's a lot of golf for someone who's had that many back surgeries. And I was worried about that because I was so glad that he had early tee time Thursday.
Yeah.
But it wasn't great. He shot even today, right?
Yeah. Which, I mean, he didn't hurt himself. I mean, with Dustin Johnson playing as well as he is, I think he's running away with it.
Dustin Johnson, man, you know.
Oh, he's so good.
When we were talking about our picks, I don't know why. He's so low-key. Like, he doesn't talk. Like, he doesn't talk about anything. And you just don't get much emotion out of him. That I just kind of forget about him sometimes, even though he's the number one player in the world.
I know, right? I thought about him, but with him getting the virus and everything, I wasn't sure where he was, like, you know, I mean, he quarantined for like 2 weeks, so that's a lot of golf that he didn't play, and I figured he'd be a little step behind everybody else,
right?
But he is not a step behind. I mean, unless he has an awful round tomorrow after we record, like,
dude, he is 16 under. He is 6 strokes. Six strokes ahead? No, he's 4 strokes ahead
going into Sunday. Yeah, I would love it if it's another one of those things where he's like 10 over everybody else by the end of it.
I mean, that's what he does, you know? Like, he is probably the most dominant player since Tiger.
Yeah. I think he missed one fairway today.
Yeah.
And he hit every green in regulation.
And I mean, he's the guy that if his putter is on, he is unstoppable.
Yeah.
You are not going to beat him because his irons and off the tee are so good.
He's reminding me of like what the next generation of golfers are going to want to be. Like how the previous is like, oh, everybody was reaching for Tiger. It's looking like everybody's going to start reaching for Dustin because even Jon Rahm, who's phenomenal, like just they have bad days. And Dustin goes out there and he just, you know, moseys around, hits the ball. And just, I mean, it's like he has no emotion, which is funny because, you know, he's from Colombia, so he's a little hometown kid, but he had quite a bit of anger issues.
Yeah.
And he was not the player that he is now. Talent-wise, he was, but the way he reacted on the course was not the way he does now. So it's so funny to see him be just so calm, like, you know, just another fairway, boom, another green.
That mental game, man, it can change everything.
I thought this stat was really cool because it was kind of annoying me how Bryson was saying that the Augusta National is only a 67 par to him because he's, you know, that he's that great that the par fives aren't even a par five for him. So Larry Mize, okay, he averaged 247 off the tee in the first round. 247. Bryson averaged 334 yards off the tee.
Almost 100 yards.
Yeah, just, you know, about 95 yards, almost 100-yard difference, okay? They both shot minus two.
Yep.
So I thought that was, because, you know, I think the Masters, you know, just get so much attention. And if Bryson really did, you know, tear up the Masters with his long game, it was gonna, they were going to start having to make changes because of the long game. But to have him, I mean, he played poor. He's been playing poorly. But
he has some terrible holes, man.
He did. He did stuff that we do.
Yeah.
But I thought that was such a good stat because it was like, that was the karma of Augusta National getting him for being, because he didn't take the big driver. He didn't take the 48-inch driver. Right. And he couldn't control it at all.
No.
And there's a reason why these older players play so well at Augusta is because it's not about distance, that course.
Mm-hmm.
You maybe can save a stroke with distance, but even somebody like Louis Oosthuizen has been, except for today, the first two rounds was playing phenomenal. And it's just about placing shots in specific areas because, you know, you'll get lucky every once in a while, but I mean, the fact that somebody could average 100 yards less than Bryson and shoot the exact same score. I mean, to average 247 off the tee from the tips at Augusta National is, that is not, that's short.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's like our three woods.
That's tough to get to the green in three. I mean, really.
There's like two or three par fours that are over 480 yards. Like,
yeah.
That's, I mean, it's not a, it's not a short course by any means. Mm-mm.
No, I just found that so funny. I'm like, you know, that's why golf's amazing.
Yeah.
You could average 100 yard less every single time you hit the ball off the tee and end up with the same score. I'm, you know, sure, now obviously kinda, Bryson had awful, like, I mean, just,
oh, his
could
short
not
game
hit
was
it.
Off. I mean, everything was off. His irons were not good. But, you know, Michelle, we kind of took a jab at him a little bit. It was like, you can hit the long ball as long as you want. If you can't hit your iron or you can't chip, the driver doesn't matter anymore. You can hit a good 350-yard drive over the trees as much as you want, but if your iron's going to miss 20 yards left or right, it doesn't matter.
Exactly, because the, you know, a 5-foot putt is valued the same amount as a 380-yard drive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those value the same. So the distance game does help in some courses, you know. I mean, it's just how it is. But in this specific course, I think he thought he would be able to make it super easy. And, I mean, he's played there before, so I don't know what he was thinking. But it just did not go the way he thought it was. And there was another cool stat that Bernhard Langer made the cut.
Yeah.
And he's 63?
In his mid-60s, I think. Yeah,
64. So he competed in a major against Gene Sarazen, who was born in 1902, and Abel Gallegos, born 2002. So he's played in his, that just shows like his range, right? So he had played with people 100 years apart. And then the first major that Bernhard Langer played in was Sarazen's last major in 1976.
Wow.
Dude made the cut. And it was the lowest cut, I think, that they've had, right? It was even par.
Yeah.
Which is outrageous.
Yeah. You know, thinking about Bryson, I look forward to seeing him play a course like Oakmont or Carnoustie, which are both very, very long courses. And they're long and straight. And I could see him dominating in that if he can control where the ball is going with his drives. But
yeah,
a course like Augusta is just, it's so much more about finesse than anything else. The way the greens are, the way the fairways are, it's almost like a links course in a way where it's, you know, so many fairways are slanted.
It's like hills. Almost all of them are.
Yeah.
It's like none of them have a flat lie. when they hit it. And then when you do hit a nice drive, it could bounce into the second cut because of the mounds in there. So it's like, it's really about exactly just placing it in the best spot in the fairway to get a second approach shot towards the green. Like, I mean, and that's why I really enjoyed Michelle Wee's coverage. Because each hole, at least on when I was, you know, watching, she would break down each landing zone for the for that hole and how, you know, sometimes people would even go over that, but it would affect their ability to get to the second landing zone. You know, so it's like you really got to play in these certain little windows. And it's so funny because that's a smart way to play golf. I've never really thought, like, I'll walk up to the hole when I play and just be like, I just want to put this in the fairway. And I don't necessarily think, where's the best spot? Like, do I want to be on the left side of the fairway or the right side of the fairway? Or, you know, what's the bet? Where's the pin at? Where's a good angle? It's like, because it just shows how amazing professionals are that it's not about getting in the fairway. It's about where in the fairway they put it, because that's going to matter in the end.
Absolutely. So, you know, your pick was John Rahm, and he's playing pretty well.
Yeah, he finished pretty poorly today, but I think he'll be fine. Like, I don't know if anybody's going to be able to catch up with Dustin. I really don't. Dustin's zero. He said he's four. He's winning by four, and John Rahm dropped to 9 under. He shot even par today. So, I mean, he'd have to make up 7 strokes on Dustin. And that's not even Abraham Anser, who's a phenomenal player. I got to admit, it made me very happy to see Patrick Reed drop. Because he was moving up the leaderboard. I think he was either leading or co-leading at one point.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. I mean, he hasn't really done anything lately, but he's just, I don't know.
I don't mind Patrick Reed nearly as much as I mind Brooks Koepka. Something about Brooks Koepka just rubs me the wrong way. I can't stand him.
It's those shirts. It's those tiny shirts.
He just has such an attitude, and I don't know. I don't know how the guys on the tour feel about him. But I don't know. I'm not a fan.
Whatever happened? Weren't Dustin and Brooks friends? Like, that was a whole storyline, and now, like, they never.
Yeah.
They had that one thing at the, was it the Ryder Cup?
Mm-hmm.
That they got into it or whatever, and now, like, because they worked out together, like, it was a thing. They were close, and now I never hear the announcers say anything about their relationship.
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm gonna guess, it was Brooks' fault. I'm gonna go ahead seems and say like it.
I mean, Dustin seems like an
easy person to be friends with because he's just, I don't care. Yeah. We can do whatever.
Yeah. Because Brooks at one point was talking about how Dustin only had one major, and he's like, yeah, it's true. You know, he's just so obviously he's being that for the camera, and, you know, he's trying to keep his composure, but to still be able to do that is impressive.
Yeah.
We've got a nice, the leaderboard was really jam packed. The start this third round.
Yeah, there was like what, 6 players at 9 under.
Yeah, and I mean, Dustin's 4 ahead, and then you've got Abraham Anser, Cameron Smith, and Sungjae Im at 12 under,
mm-hmm.
and then everybody else is at least 5 or 6 strokes behind.
Yeah. You know, so my pick was Rory, and I've picked Rory a couple of times these last couple of tournaments because I just think. He is so good. He is such a good golfer. It's just not everything has come together at once for him in a while. But I think I personally, in my opinion, think he has the prettiest golf swing on the tour right now. If you look at it slow motion, there is no change in where the club head is through the entire swing. He has the straightest swing path I have ever seen.
And it's repeatable.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. And he just did not play well Thursday. Yeah. But everything has come together for him these last 2 days. And if he could have had a good round Thursday, he'd probably be close to the lead.
Yeah, if he had shot even on Thursday, he'd be 11 under. So he'd be tied for 5th.
Yeah.
And definitely in striking distance because he shot 5 under today.
Right.
And he just, like you said, he just got off to a really bad start that Thursday. It just did not go well for him. Tiger too. I mean, he hasn't had a over par round, but he's only 5 under.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's not going to do it. But I don't know, man. I don't see anybody catching up with Dustin. I'd like to see, if somebody does, I'd like Abraham Answer to win. I've been watching him a lot. I really like, just, I don't know. He owns a tequila company, so I already really like him. And, I mean, a Mexican golfer, I'm looking through this leaderboard and I don't see anybody else. So he's kind of just representing that whole country, you know? It's just cool to see somebody a little bit different who does it differently. You know whose swing is weird? Ricky Fowler's.
Yeah.
It's so shallow and whippy.
Very shallow.
It
used to be even more shallow a few years ago. But ever since he started training with, I think it was not Butch, but his son, I think Butch Harmon's son.
Yeah.
That it changed a little bit, but it is still a very shallow swing.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know how he gets the ball, like, or how he gets the club back to the ball. It's,
I don't know.
Even John Rahm is very similar. It's very low.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't
take it very far back either.
Mm-mm, no, kinda similar like to Tony Finau.
Yeah, like Tony Finau, J.B. Holmes.
Yeah, Tony Finau needs to win something. He hasn't even won a tour. Like, he hasn't even won anything yet. He's so good.
You know who I saw on the feed at the Masters playing that I just kind of forgot about? Was Vijay Singh.
Yeah. Yeah. He like did a bunch of rehab and now he's playing.
Yeah. Just kind of forgot about him.
I wonder if he plays on the Champions. I wonder if he plays with Phil on the Champions Tour.
Probably. I would think. And Phil is playing really good golf. And he is driving the ball like a madman. Like, he has to be the longest player on the Champions Tour.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, on the Champions Tour, he's great. Yeah. I think he's just got all this confidence.
Those courses are so much easier and shorter. And
yeah, he can have fun. But then he comes to the Masters and, like, I mean, he played okay. His putting was so bad.
That's always been his thing. Like, anything, like, 6 feet in, I don't know. Something about it, he just gets, like, the jitters or something and he misses so many of those.
Yeah. For somebody whose short game is so good.
Yeah.
Where he can just have days where he is just an awful putter.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because his putter is so specific to him.
He's had that same putter for such a long time. It's a very strange looking putter. It looks like there's no forgiveness to it at all.
No, I don't think at all. It's very, it's heel shafted and it comes back out. And so, I mean, It's a tough putter to use, but he's been using that forever. Speaking of that, it's funny watching Tiger with his putter because you see that depression in the center of his putter.
Yeah.
Because that's his putter, man. It's just so funny. Like, these guys, at least that's Tiger's, I'm not messing with my putter.
That's $100 million putter.
Honestly.
But and Phil has changed his putter grip so many times, like the way he grips the putter.
Yeah.
Like he's doing the claw right now, but he's done so many different grips. I'm surprised he hasn't also tried to change his putter head, but
Go with like a huge mallet.
Yeah, just get one of those TaylorMade spiders or something.
Dude, everybody's using that spider, man.
Yeah.
It's like a freaking rocket ship on the back of it.
Yeah. It's very forgiving though, and this is, but it does look nice. Like, I've putted with it like on the practice inside greens at golf shops and stuff. It feels nice.
Yeah.
To be honest, you know what the one thing I hate about that putter is? Can't pick up the ball with it. There's no ball scooper. I gotta have a ball scooper, man. What am I gonna do? Bend over and pick up the ball?
Even your mid mallet. Oh, I guess it would be. It is a mallet putter. It's not a mid mallet.
That's a mallet. Yeah, that's a mallet putter.
You like the X5 shape?
Yeah.
But you can still pick it up with that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking to get that square back. I really want that.
Yeah. So what's going on with your putters exactly?
So I sold the pyramid putter, and I'm the one I have inbox. I have a brand new inbox, the KS1 Kirkland Signature. And I've read up a lot. It's supposed to be really nice. I have that in the weight kit. And so I'm going to sell that. And then it's on eBay. If anybody wants it, yeah, KS1. It's supposed to be great. But I think I'm just going to take both of those, the money I make from those, and just get a Scotty. I like but it. I was thinking about getting the Newport, the regular blade. But then I was looking at the square back, and it's a blade, but it has... It's a little bit bigger,
mm-hmm.
and it's got like it's a mid mallet type deal, like right in between. And I think I might get the heavy, which is just it's got the heavier weights in it.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see how I like it, because I can always change the weights. Like that's not a big deal, but I think it'd be easier to get regular weights than to find heavy weights.
Yeah,
but I think I'll go with the. I think it's Pistolini. I don't know exactly how it's pronounced. That's the grip. It's skinny. Like but it's supposed to be really good for feel because you're like one with the shaft. It's not like a big grip.
Yeah.
But I'll probably go and test a bunch out. Like I'm not fully sold where it's like, that's the exact one I'm getting.
Yeah.
But I'll try a couple out. See what I like, and then I'll probably stick with that. I'll probably just use Sarah's putter until that Kirkland one sells, which I mean, it's not a big deal. It's not like I'm a great putter anyways. Who knows? Maybe I'll get really good with that one. And
yeah, I want to get a new putter grip as well. I want to get the Golf Pride Pro Only cord grip.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It looks nice, and I like that pistol shape, that pistol grip shape.
Where it comes back a little.
Yeah, then yeah. It kind of tapers down and gets mm-hmm. smaller at the end. And it has a nice place to put your thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that rather than the rounder, like, super stroke grips.
Yeah, those got super popular, the thick grips. Because I guess just because it was new and everybody did it. And now I think everybody's, like, realizing that it is nice. I mean, you get your whole hand around it. But you lose a bit of feel, I think, because...
Lose feel, and those are good for the claw grip and a couple of other certain golf grips. But when you're just kind of doing your basic interlocking grip, you really don't need that big of a grip.
No, I mean, you look at most everybody, really good putters, they don't have those big grips.
Yeah.
I think because it does affect their feel. I really thought the new TaylorMade Truss putter would do better once Dustin won with it. The one it's heel shafted, but it's got like that extension on it, which also goes to the center of the blade. So it's supposed to have like a feel. So if sometimes you go into out and sometimes you go straight back, it's supposed to still work both ways. Similar to like a plumber's neck, how it's supposed to help with either or.
Right.
Doesn't
use the spider though?
He does, yeah. But yeah, when he had some bad putting experiences, so gotcha. He used the Truss, which was TaylorMade's new putter, and he won with it. And it was like, so I went and tried it, and I hit it. I liked it. It does feel weird because it feels like a center shafted putter and a heel shafted putter at the same time.
Gotcha.
But I mean, usually when a player wins with a unique club, I feel like it gets a little more, but after that, like he put the other one back in his bag and he was just good to go. I just thought it was funny. Like when Bryson wins and he uses those sick putters,
yeah,
they're getting popular. Dude, they're more expensive than Scotty's.
Oh, they're very expensive because you can do so many different things with them. Like I think I was looking at a YouTube video about it. I think Bryson's ensemble is like $600.
Yeah. And his loft is different. You can't even get his loft unless you get the specific putter that he has because he does that arm lock style. Yeah. Which, is that legal? Because the grip goes and hits the top of his arm.
Yeah, I think so. Because when the new rules happen, is you just can't anchor it to your body. But I think...
But if it's against your arm, it's okay?
If it's against your arm, it's okay. Like, because I know like a lot of guys that use belly putters...
That was an issue, right? Because they could anchor it.
Yeah. But I think now they'll just anchor it to their arm. So, you know, maybe one day they'll make it illegal to get on Bryson's nerves.
yeah, probably. His putter, though, is lofted like 7 degrees or something. Yeah. It's something. It's like they were joking. It's his putter has more loft than his driver, because that arm lock grip, like the way that you hold it, it shuts the face so much. So if he were not, if he didn't have it that way, he'd basically be hitting it into the ground every time. So that putter is like, I think, a degree more than his Cobra driver. It's pretty funny. Yeah. It shows that he really just wants to do things different. It doesn't really.
Yeah, he's a could different care guy, less. Man. All the way down to the hat. He's a different guy.
Yeah. Do you see how he tested his Bridgestone balls?
Mm-mm.
I didn't read into it. It was just like a blurb, like on the coverage, where like he looks at each ball individually and tests them like under salt water, and I guess calculates how long it takes for it to like find its center point. And if it's a certain time, then it's not a good ball. Like. So then he'll be like, all right, I'll use this one. And I'm like, I never thought. Like, I'm just like, I just open up the... I figured they're all good. Especially if you're using, like... I mean, those balls are made for him.
Yeah.
So, like... But he goes even further. I've never heard of anybody testing their ball before like that.
You know the research guys at Bridgestone and Cobra just pull their hair out when he comes and visits.
They must hate him so much. You're probably right, though. And, I mean, they signed both Tiger and Bryson back. So, I mean.
Yeah.
Plus, those balls are nice. Like.
I like the Bridgestones. I tried the Tour BXS. The ones that Tiger used are nice. Mm-hmm. I went back to Pro V1s. I just love Pro V1s too much.
Yeah. They are great. They were my go-to. And I think they're almost my go-to. But when the TP5s dropped their price. Yeah. I was like,
hard to say no.
Yeah, I mean, because they're very similar. I think, like you said, I think the Pro V1s just have some of the best spin around the greens. I don't know of another ball that's as good as that. But off the driver, those TP5s are phenomenal.
Yeah, they do feel very good off the driver.
They have low, like, I can shape the ball with it, and even my miss hits are not overly done with that ball. And, you know, with Titleist, like, I guess I don't really hit a ton of nice balls off the tee, because, I mean, why would I guess? But when I've had to, I've noticed, like, it's noticeable to me how low spin the TP5s are.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a reason, because they've got all those players. I really thought Matt Wolf was going to do something.
Yeah, he just never got anything going.
I love when he's in contention.
Yeah.
Because everything, all they talk about is how weird his swing is.
Yeah.
And he's younger. He's what, 21?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, there was a amateur who was 18 playing at the Masters this week.
Was it the one that was plus 10?
Yeah.
I love when they show the amateur scoreboards. I feel so bad, because it's like they just want to, they're just happy to be out there. You know, like.
But that amateur Ogletree, who was playing with Tiger, he made the cut.
Yeah, he did. He's still playing. I was pretty.
I've seen him a lot. Like, I think he definitely has a future on the tour. Like, I've seen him a good bit playing, so he'll probably be on the tour pretty soon.
Speaking of young guys, did you know how old John Rahm was?
I mean, he looks like he's in his 30s.
Right. That's what I thought. Uh-huh. I mean, I figured, just because he's kind of been around, right? He's 26.
Wow. That's impressive.
Right? I mean, I didn't know that at all. I just assumed.
He was as old as, like, Dustin Johnson.
That's what I thought. I figured, because Dustin is 36.
Yeah.
These are 10 years.
And has done cocaine.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's impressive, honestly. And, I mean, obviously Dustin's in phenomenal shape.
Yeah.
But I just expected John Rahm to be, like, in his 30s, just the way he looks, you know?
Yeah, he just looks older, but that's funny.
Right? I mean, he's got 10 years on Dustin. Like, once Dustin starts getting older, then I think the John Rahm and... I would feel like Justin Thomas, but I don't know. He's not.
Yeah, I think gone are the days that we're going to have a player anything like Tiger or Jack where they're just winning tournament after tournament. You know, I think.
Unless it's Dustin Johnson. Unless he keeps
doing
it. But
even Dustin Johnson, he's 36 and he's only won 2 majors now?
No, he's only won one.
Only one, yeah, you know, by the time Tiger was 36, he had won like 10.
Yeah. No, I think that just shows like Dustin's reaching his prime right now. Yeah. And he needed to be in that like 16 years ago.
Yeah.
And like similar, like we thought Jordan Spieth or Rory McIlroy was going to like, because.
And they just dropped off.
And that's just kind of how everybody is. They win a major and then, you know, it's because everything went well that round. It's not because they were they're literally better than everybody else like Tiger was.
Everyone is a lot of people are very even in their game. Tiger was just worlds ahead of everybody else he was playing with when he was younger.
Yeah, I think that's why we need to almost curtail our expectations of Bryson too. I know he's a little pompous in the thing, like, you know, because he's doing it differently and he's going to make it easier. It's like he's not going to go out and win every tournament hitting it 370 yards. Like, it's just not how it works. Like, you know, everybody's so good now. That's part of it too.
Yeah.
Is the quality of players are all very high now. So
a
bad day is very not like, I mean, the fact that thinking Dustin can shoot so well. I mean, he shot 7 under today. And then I don't know what he did yesterday. I don't have that. I don't have that information, but I mean, to be 16 under in 3 rounds is impressive. And he might break the record. I thought they were saying that if he has another really good round, he might break the lowest score record, but I could be wrong.
I believe
Which is funny, because like you look at Brooks Koepka, and he only wins majors.
Yeah. Brooks Koepka. Dustin shot 70 yesterday.
So he's only 2 under, man.
Yeah.
I felt like did he have a great first round?
Yeah, I think Thursday and Friday. I'm sorry, no. Thursday he had a good round, and then Friday was okay.
So he was 9 under to start today. Yeah. And then got to 16, which is just awesome. I love it. It's cool. Every time they mention he's from Columbia, South Carolina, I get a little like, yeah.
Yep.
Recognize. Even though we have nothing to do with him at all. So, if John Rahm doesn't win, I'll be okay if it's Dustin Johnson or Abraham Answer.
Yeah, I'm okay with Tiger not winning if Dustin Johnson wins. Tiger played good. Just he missed so many birdie putts by a quarter of an inch.
Yeah.
Like, if he would have made those, he would be close to the lead. Like, it was insane.
It was sad. Almost, because you could tell, I mean, he really was putting everything out there.
They were just, man, they would just roll right off the edge every time.
I'd be okay seeing...
in great situations, just he could not make the putts.
I'd be okay with seeing Tiger put the jacket on Dustin.
Yeah.
But he's probably the only person I'd be okay with.
Yeah.
Maybe Rory. I'd be okay with Rory,
I'd
too.
I'd be okay with Rory or even JT.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, not Brooks Koepka, not Patrick Reed.
Absolutely not.
It made me feel so good to watch Patrick Reed put that jacket on Tiger Woods last year. It was, that was so great. Remember last year? Remember how great last year was?
It was a good year.
Comparatively.
Yeah. Anything compared to 2020, it's a phenomenal year.
Yeah. Well, I hope we get a good final Sunday round.
Yeah. I think pretty much Justin just needs to... kind of just coast. I mean, maybe 2 under, 3 under. I think that'll win it for him.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as he doesn't, if he can be 2 under and go 18 and make somebody jump up, like they basically have to play a 6 under round to tie him.
Yeah.
If he plays an average round.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. Maybe next week we'll get an update on if your clubs come assembled or not, huh?
Yeah. I just emailed them, so we'll see.
Yeah, well, we'll get a we'll look forward to it. Hopefully, next week we'll get to talk about the last Sunday, the final day of the Masters, and get an update on your clubs. Maybe I'll have a Scotty Cameron by then. We'll see what happens.
I like it. Alrighty, guys. Well, we'll catch y'all later.
Have a good one.